This is CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
They will always doubt you. Realize not everyone has their best ethics at heart. Some people will look up to you, but those are the people that will let you down. People will cast stones in your directions. Sometimes all you need to do is distance yourself. Prove them wrong. Develop a thick skin. Stand strong in your convictions. Stay driven in the face of adversity. When you're about to give up, think about that one reason why you wanted to start. Welcome to Future CEOs, everybody. My name is Subi Moya Arnold. Hello, Gareth.
That was very, very good. I think we're going to have you do that from now on.
Listen, the butterflies. But you know what? I feel that it's a very tough time in the entrepreneurial space. I'm personally, as an entrepreneur, having a really difficult time fulfilling my destiny in the entrepreneurial world. So it's always good just to be reflective on your decisions and on your journey.
Well, that's what we do here on Future CEOs, isn't it? We sit together for an hour a week where we are able to do exactly that. Reflect, look back, look into, introspect, while we're listening to other individuals who are sharing their journeys with us. In this particular instance, we've got someone that a voice, an accent, perhaps, that we don't always hear. Flubi, who do we have in studio?
Founder of Automotive Detailing. I want to find out what exactly that is. Entrepreneur of note, a successful entrepreneur with a lot of mentorship. And I love that because we're all about people who inspire and people that we aspire to be. And obviously, it's about also the generations that we leave behind us. So welcome to Future CEOs, Lorenzo Escobar.
Thank you for having me here.
That's a really nice name. It rolls off the tongue quite interesting. I'm sure you've heard a couple of plays on it over time with some of the big figures throughout history that have a similar kind of name.
Yeah, I get that quite often, actually.
Well, we're not going to confuse you with that, but so to make sure that our listeners don't confuse you with anyone in history that has a similar name, please tell our Future CEOs listeners who you are and how you come to be here in the studio with us today, please.
Actually, my name is Lorenzo Escobar. I am from Toronto, Canada, and I actually landed here in South Africa yesterday, and today is day one of my tour here for this country. So I've been traveling around, attending a lot of business conferences, attending a lot of networking events, and you build a lot of relationships with people. And so I happened to meet my good friend, Karen Black, who actually just connected me with a lot of people here, and she's done a terrific job here working with me here, and then just to share my story here and talk about entrepreneurship. I'm 25 years old. I started an auto detailing business. So what auto detailing is, you're actually cleaning the cars from people drive cars, and what we do is we want to make the cars look like new again. So it's like as if they just bought the car, so we give them that new car experience.
We need that.
Perhaps. So auto detailing and starting a business, being a 25-year-old, I think what we may be used to coming in studios, someone's a little bit older, further along in the journey, who's doing a tour like you are. How is it that you then find yourself doing a tour on the back of the business that you've started? That's quite an interesting. We've not had that before.
Well, I actually started the auto detailing business when I was 18 years old. I was in first year university, and I started it. It was because of out of necessity. I tried to apply for a lot of jobs at the time. So this was back in 2011. We were still under the there was a global recession there at the time. So I applied to over 20 job positions, and it's either I got rejected or just never heard a response. It was tough, right? And then obviously you're a student, you have bills to pay, and I was just trying to get by, and I started the auto detailing books because I'm a big fan of cars. I'm a big car guy. I love working on vehicles, and before, when I was living at home with my parents, one of my chores was, just help clean their car. Mm. So I got very good at it, and eventually neighbors started to see the results, and now they started asking me to work on their cars, and then eventually just kind of spread it from there. So my company, Inception Auto Detailing, so it started as a mobile service. So we actually go to people's houses. That's what I did, going to people's houses, going door to door, just cleaning cars there. That's how I would
humble
get by.
Humble beginnings.
Exactly, yeah.
Humble beginnings. So what exactly are you doing in South Africa, Lorenzo?
So here in South Africa, this is my first time here. So it's really, I do want to see the country. I hear a lot of great things as well. And then just build relationships with people and connect. And who knows, like eventually if an opportunity arises, whether if it's here in the automotive industry or something else, maybe I might start a location here, a branch or another business opportunity.
I love the fact that even a short period down the road or down the line from you starting a business, that you're already potentially looking to go international. That's a significant thing. It speaks to the vision that you have for your business and perhaps even the belief that you have in your business. Let's talk a little bit about then this business that you've started. So you spoke about necessity driving you toward that. So often people feel like they're born with this entrepreneurial thing. In your case, it seemed necessity. Is that accurate, or did you have something within you that was always pushing you to be independent anyway?
Definitely being independent. But in terms of the business, I had no intentions of starting a business before, because usually with Filipinos is you do well in school, get good grades, and you get a job for a big corporation, and then you work your way up. But for me, is I never had the grades in school, so I was always a B or a C student, where I was never an A student there. So there was definitely some struggles there. I applied to six universities in Canada, and only two accepted. So that was because of the fact that grades was an issue, right? And then, so I went to my university. It was called the University of Ontario Institute of Technology. So it's based out of Oshawa in Canada. And then, so I actually took a Bachelor of Commerce and I majored in marketing there. So I knew I enjoyed the business. I loved the concept. Like, I found it to be very interesting, but I didn't really wanted to start a business until it was difficult finding work, and then eventually just starting the auto detailing things kind of led one thing to another.
So you start this business, but starting a business is not just as simple as doing something.
Exactly, yes.
Tell us a little bit about that journey. So 2 days in, you suddenly realize, holy smoke, what have I done? just talk to us about it.
Yeah, definitely. Starting a business, you know about the theory, you learn a lot of things in school.
Yeah, fill out a business plan, all of
exactly. So when you're actually there working hands-on, you'll soon realize that some things wouldn't work. And then so you do have to adapt to the environment, adapt to change. So especially as an entrepreneur, there's a lot of things that come in unexpected. So as much as you have a business plan where, you know what, this is a straight line, this is I want to get to this, but it'll never be a straight line where you're actually going to go in a zigzag places. Sometimes, you know, you take two steps forward, you move one back, and then two steps forward and move one back, but you're constantly growing and pushing forward. So especially for a business owner, you need to have a vision as to what you want to do, what's your role, why are you doing this. And a lot of times when it comes to entrepreneurship, so a lot of people will think that, oh, I'm just here to make money. But the thing about entrepreneurship, it's about giving value to customers. Like, you're there to solve problems. You're there to fix things. You're there to just make things
create
better.
Create solutions.
Exactly.
Yeah. Scratch someone's itch, essentially, is what we've heard people say before. Tell us about an early challenge that you experienced. Tell us a story.
Oh, yeah. Definitely an early challenge was definitely the age demographic, the age factor for sure, especially in my industry when I'm working on a lot of high-end vehicles. And why would they entrust an 18-year-old working on $50,000, if not $100,000 vehicles? And then, you know, they're very expensive, valuable, too. What if, you know, something breaks, right? So the one thing is you definitely need to have confidence in yourself. You definitely need to have confidence in the skill that you do. And then also you have to assure them that, you know, you're actually going to be delivering the value of your work, where you'll make the car look very clean, like new. And then eventually I started to make a lot of money out of it. Like, now for some owners, some clients have paid me about $15,000 to actually clean a car. It takes about 4 days to do.
Amen. So you know what, as you said, the road forward isn't necessarily straightforward, Lorenzo.
Exactly, yes.
There are so many no's in this entrepreneurial life, you know, to a thousand no's comes one yes. How do you just keep yourself motivated when that happens? Or is there a system or a way that you handle the rejection and move on and just keep persevering? What's your tool of being motivated?
Definitely, yes, I did get a lot of rejections in my life, like I say, you know, in business and personal life. And then eventually you soon learn enough that, you know, you don't let others dictate as to how you want to live your life. And then so you set the standards to yourself, and then you say, like, okay, this is what I really want to do, and I don't care what others think, and then just keep on doing it. And then, you know, having mentors is very important as well too, and then associating yourself with business owners who are far more successful than you, because, you know, you get to learn a lot from them. They've gone through failures themselves, and then, you know, they tell you, and then you actually learn from them. And obviously, you know, there's a saying where, you know, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. Right? Those who surround yourself with is who you become. And so what's great about in my industry with the auto detailing, because we're more on the high end, we're in the niche market, so I get to meet a lot of successful business owners, if not some of the top 100 richest people in Canada, where I get to learn as to how they grew their own businesses. And just having that kind of personal relationship is a big, you know, it's a big deal, because of the fact that, you know, you never know where it leads to as well. And then, you know, when you help, you know, others, you know, you obviously don't expect anything in return, but when the time is needed, sometimes I'll reach out to them, say, hey, like, you know, I need an advice, you know, can I have your opinion on this? And they'll be gladly to help you.
Do you find that these high-flying individuals who are business and they end up being your clients, are they accessible and approachable just for those very reasons of mentorship and advice and just helping you to become a forward thinker in your business?
Definitely, yeah. Some of them, yes. And then, however, you know, don't ask for help on the first meeting or anything, but it's just a matter of building that relationship, because nothing is built overnight, right? So the Roman Empire wasn't built overnight. It takes years and years to actually build everything. So I've been in business for about 7 years now, actually, and when it only started growing, you know, at an exponential rate in the last 3 years.
Okay. Give us a story whereby you made a big mistake, but you learned a great lesson out of it.
Okay, well, one of the big mistakes is that sometimes as soon as you soon realize money is coming in, and then I've seen a lot of other business people do this, where they go on a lot of, you know, big spending on personal things just because they would expect that money will constantly coming in. So one thing is as well is you never rely on one client, just because anything can happen where, you know, if you lose a client, you will lose a lot of your revenue. So
I want to jump in here. So have you done that? Did you do it at any point where you relied on one client and you said, I've arrived, and then suddenly that client disappeared for some reason?
Yes, it has happened. And then during the early stages of the growth, when I started, you know, making a lot of money for a young teenager, there where, you know, I got overconfident. And then so, you know, because it was the first time, you know, experiencing everything where
excitement.
you think you're the king of the hill, and you learn enough that you
easy
know
come,
being
easy go.
Yeah, exactly, right? So you learn that, you know, you shouldn't have the ego with you all the time. So even I tell a lot of my team members this, where I always tell them at work, where always leave your ego at the door, because once you let ego take over you, that's what's gonna cause your downfall.
Libby, what I really appreciate about what we're hearing, especially about the confidence thing, is this idea of overconfidence can also often be re-termed as arrogance, and arrogance really lacks a certain foundation, doesn't it? Libby, you may have, in your experience, in your career, had a moment or two of overconfidence, especially in the early days when you were young.
And you know what, Easy, I did. I don't know why you have to expose. You know, I'm trying to keep a levels of, you know, interest.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's so true, and we've always made those mistakes. And I just learned the hard way, and that's the best way to learn sometimes, Lorenzo. And it's easy come, easy go.
Exactly, yes.
But what I love about sometimes of the decisions that I've made, I'm a big believer in intuition. And
yes.
I know that you come a lot from the school of intuition and intuitionology. Tell us a little bit more of that and how that has worked positively for you in your business and how trusting your gut can separate you from bad business mistakes.
Oh, yes. So about intuition, intuition is something that everyone has inside of you where it helps you make that sound moral decision.
Like sometimes it's not always about the money.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
I like that sound moral decision.
Yes.
Sorry. I don't want to interrupt you. I wanted to re-emphasize what you were saying. Please go on.
Yeah, so that sounds a moral decision. So, for example, a really good story here.
Yay.
So, this was about 3 years ago when I got an email inquiry. So, it happened to be somebody from Google, from Google Canada. So, they were actually inquiring for a detailing service.
Don't we always wait for that call?
Mm. Yeah, so it was great. So so the person left the inquiry on our through our online contact form, and when I saw the @google.com, I thought, I was like, you know, this can't this be true? I was like, the heart started racing.
We're still waiting for that call.
The heart started racing, right? And then so obviously I got back to them. So the speed of implementation is very important. And then so I spoke with the person on the phone, so I had an in-person meeting as to, you know, I was just there to kind of figure out what they're looking for, right? And then so I wasn't necessarily pushing for a service or a package or anything, but it's just a matter of finding out the needs from your customers.
Yeah, like, reaching out, connecting.
Yeah,
with them.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. It's part of the relationship building, the rapport is very important, especially for the service-based industries. Mm. It's a lot of it. You know, a lot of your business is driven through relationships. Mm. And then usually it's the people who buy you. And then so having the in-person meeting was really good. So just so they can get to know us. And then so I asked this person was, okay, well, I'm very interested because you're located in another city, but why did you call us? So they actually found us just by Google. Google found us on Google. So we were ranked one of the top in the region in the Toronto, and then so eventually they were looking for somebody to come to their office on site to detail the vehicles for their employees, and then I knew for this one where as much as I thought in terms of how I was charging for a service, I was thinking charging higher, but instead I charged at a much lower cost just because having that kind of association is great.
Yeah, there's a certain value
than,
there.
Yeah, exactly. Rather than the money coming in, right? So that's where I saw the brand value out of that.
Yeah, there's a short term and a longer term view
exactly.
here.
You
took the longer
exactly.
longer term.
Yes.
Which is also interesting because often what we do is we have entrepreneurs that come in and say, know your value and stick to it. Even if you're starting out, make sure that you push your price to where you want it to be and you must charge that all the time. But what we're saying here is know your value, but know the value of a relationship.
Exactly,
well.
Exactly. The brand value, it's not always about the money coming in, right? So what I realized is that because especially when you get a big company under your name, it's a lot easier to close deals with other bigger companies. And then so eventually when Tesla reached out, so I remember this one, they actually called just us on the phone and left a voicemail saying that, we're looking for somebody who could service our vehicles at some of our service centers in the Toronto area, and then so I reached out, I responded, and then long story short, we have the working relationship with Tesla where we actually prepare the delivery of the vehicles of the Tesla vehicles before it goes to the customer.
Mm. Well, that's great for your company history, you know, and just aligning yourself with those kind of brands and also being able to inspire, you know, change in society as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly for me, Lorenzo, what do you want to give back? What is it that you stand for being a business entrepreneur and wanting to, you know, venture out into the global game? What is your why?
My why is that, yes, be successful in business, expand your business to a global scale, but also as an entrepreneur, give back your knowledge to those who is starting off. And so I speak in front of schools also. Here, actually, I'm very much so interested working with Ndaba Mandela in terms of his African Rising charity, where eventually I do want to speak in front of, you know, young students here in South Africa about, you know, starting their own business. And then there's a lot of, you know, even just coming here yesterday, I soon realized that there's a lot of opportunities here in Africa where there's so many things where things can be improved on for sure. So there's a lot of opportunities here. And I think that, but a lot of people have like a self-doubt as to, you know, I can't do it. Mm. Like it's either, you know, I don't have time, I don't have money, or what will people think of me, right? Mm. So, but the biggest thing, what's really important is, because a lot of them have the fear of the unknown, where you don't know where it's going to lead to, right? Because let's say you start a business and say if it fails, and then now people are going to be like, oh, I told you so. Mm. And then so some, and then, you know, for a lot of people, that's quite hurtful, right? And then...
And more than just hurtful, it can be debilitating. I mean, it can really stop you in your tracks, and then mm-hmm. where to from there? I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you again.
No, it's okay. So that, you know, that could be hurtful, but, you know, after, you know, I've experienced a lot of rejection and people doubting, especially getting into the car business, just because, oh, with cleaning cars, you know, can you actually make a lot of money in that, mm-hmm. right? And then, eventually I just learned how to filter out what the naysayers
are. And the noise.
Exactly. Yeah. Just filter out the noise and then just keep mm. on focusing on yourself. And then, like I said, just surround yourself with people who is far more successful than you, and then you become who they are.
As we said in the beginning, there will always be those people who doubt you. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. There's always.
But let me be contrarian a little bit here. But there's a certain value in the doubt, is there not? Is there not a certain value in someone mm-hmm. coming to you and saying, I don't think you're going to make it? But I think, and your response should then technically be why. And then you listen very carefully mm-hmm. to what they're saying. And then that can perhaps give you insight into a blind spot that you have. So, I mean, it's just another perspective. I'm looking at the clock and we're running out of time. Let's get a couple of our short fire questions at Lorenzo yep. here. Lorenzo, tell us about a book that has changed the way that you think or changed your approach to business. Your absolute favorite book.
Favorite one is, it was definitely written, I think, in 1920s, 1930s. So it was a Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Okay, very
exactly.
good. Yes, very good.
That's a good one.
Just tell us a little bit more about the book and how it influenced you. And when it influenced you. At what point did you read it?
I read this 3 years ago. It was actually before Google actually approached me. So I remember I got that Google deal just a day before turning 23. Mm. So I was 22 at the time. And then so what's really important about that book is it's all about the other person. It's all about the other person, not about yourself. Mm. And then so if you approach things in a humble way, and then let the actions speak for themselves. Yeah.
So Tony Robbins, Robert Kiyosaki, Sir Richard Branson, J.T. Fox, just to name a few. Mm-hmm. Why are these people a light and a beacon of work ethic, of success, and of business acumen for you?
Especially for those people, yes. They're very a lot of them are very successful in what they do, and then so there's a lot of, you know, coaches here where they have a lot of specialties in terms of making your business successful. So I'll put JT Fox for example, and then so he taught a lot of marketing and branding in your business, where it's very important to market your business in a way where it's very unique. It's very unique. And then Tony Robbins, he's very good in terms of personal development and then finding that inner strength with you. And then Sir Richard Branson, he is the visionary where he has the vision and then he actually assembles a team to execute that vision. And then so there's a lot.
It's good to have a lot of mentors.
Yeah, exactly. Correct. Exactly. There's a lot. Everyone has their own strengths where, you know, you don't always rely on one person, but rely on many different, so you can see things at
different points of view.
Mm. Yeah,
I like that.
No, it's fantastic. In fact, always go after a specialist perspective rather than a generalist expression from someone.
Yes.
Very, very, very nice. What's our final question? It's always, if you could go back and talk to the young future CEO, 20-year-old you, what would you say to yourself? But the only thing is...
That was 5 years ago.
You're so close to being 20. This is a difficult question to ask. Let's go a little bit further back. If you were talking to a younger version of you, a 16-year-old you, a you that... perhaps has doubt, a you that is perhaps trying to find themselves, what would you say to that future CEO you? Which may have been when you were 20, but what would you say?
What I would say is don't let others dictate as to how you live your life. You define on how you live it yourself. Mm. And also always have, you know, regardless of where you are in your life and business, you are more, you know, more successful than others, but don't always never forget to give back, like whether if it's you know, financial, monetary, but also your knowledge as well, because the value of the wisdom you give to others, you know, it's a lifetime, right, where you could actually build a legacy out of it.
Very nice, Libby.
I still hold the same standards, constantly raising the bar, and I'm a continuous learner. Those are your words. Anything add to that? Anything else to add to that?
Never give up, for sure.
Yeah.
Never give up. Always try something new.
Yeah.
Don't have the mindset where it's been done like this for a long time. Always look for ways and approach things at different perspective.
Lorenzo Escobal, thank you for joining us here
Thanks
in studio.
For having
we're,
me here.
We're so very grateful that you were able to join us. Thank you for sharing your insights and your wisdom with us.
Thank you.
And we look forward to seeing where you're going to be in another 5 years. It's been from an 18-year-old to a 25-year-old, you're working with Google and Tesla. And so the sky seems like it is the limit for you. And we look forward to seeing where you are.
And enjoy the rest of your time in our beautiful country.
All right, we're going to be talking to Lee Nike, the CEO of TransUnion, who's going to be talking to us about some of the trends that we should be looking out for this year. I know it's already February, but Lee's insights are invaluable, and we're going to be talking to him right after this.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.